Welcome to the podcast, Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite. I'm Dr. Laura Sokola, your host, and our focus is on mastering communication as an essential leadership skill so that you can command the room, connect with the audience, and close the deal in any context. After over 200 episodes, we are a top 1% podcast globally, thanks to you. So if you love listening to these conversations as much as I love sharing them with you, please take 30 seconds to leave us a five-star rating and review, or just go to the website, ratethispodcast.com/influence, and follow their super simple instructions. My guest this week is Richard Blank. He is the CEO of Costa Rica's call center. He's been 16 years in this business, and he's trained over 10,000 people. Originally, he's a proud Philadelphian, yay Philly, in Costa Rica for the last 24 years. Richard, pura vida, welcome to the show.
Pura vida, Laura. So happy to be with you and your audience today.
Now, what's a fun fact about you?
Well, my favorite band is INXS, and I just hired the bassist Gary Beers to play on a track that I produced here in Costa Rica with a local rock band, Igni Feroki. The song is Shine Like the Sun.
Oh, what fun. I love INXS. What's your favorite song?
Suicide Blonde.
So now we're going to have to go look it up. We'll see if we can put that in the show notes later on. That's great. Well, tell us a little bit about Costa Rica's call center. What's your elevator pitch?
Well, we are a dedicated nearshore call center. The agents here are bilingual. They have the most neutral accent. We work with sales, appointment setting, lead generation, customer support, back office support, non-voice support. And we're so close to the United States, you can just hop on a quick flight, come down here, be hanging out with the agents by lunchtime.
That sounds amazing on multiple levels. Anybody who has not been to Costa Rica, highly recommend it. Highly, highly recommend it. Are you a zipliner? Are you a surfer? Are you, what's your after-hours passion?
Well, I try to do everything, but when you're talking about outside, I guess it's hanging out in the hot springs up in Tabacón. But, you know, when you're on a four-wheeler, or you're taking horses out into the rainforest, or you're hiking, it's incredible. Just the only thing is you don't want to overextend yourself. A lot of people get off the path or they hurt themselves when they're not following the rules. So if you are safe, you do things the right way, then you can have one of the greatest adventures of your life.
So much fun. I think everybody just mentally reevaluated their retirement plans for where they're going to go. Now, Costa Rica, highly recommended. Yeah. Now, what's the most important leadership lesson you had to learn and how did you learn it?
I guess one of the greatest things was character during chaos.
And how did you learn that? Character during chaos. I like that. And was there an example of a time when the need for more character, so to speak, or a shift in character perhaps was necessary in a time of chaos where the light bulb went off?
Yes, of course, Laura. It was during COVID when all of a sudden the government said, you got to send everybody home. And so what do? IT needed to prepare the lifeboats. The agents mentally needed to prepare for the isolation. And my supervisors and I needed to create certain mediums to keep that communication going and that lifeline going. And so I saw some people run for the hills. I saw freshmen step up to the plate. And as a certain person that values balance and certain direction, I needed to be more disappointed than angry because I couldn't sacrifice that 15% whirlwind, like a spider's web, where you start breaking things in the kitchen and one thing gets worse after another. And so what I needed to do was, as they say, separate piles, give people to assist and help me carry this sort of weight, Dr. Laura. So that's kind of what I was thinking about. But sometimes you're throwing a ball and you didn't have time to prepare. And so hopefully your foundation getting up to that point is strong enough to give you the ability to believe in your own decisions when you don't have mommy, daddy, your favorite professor, or your best friend by your side.
Right.
Or even to make the phone call to Laura and say, what should I do? You sometimes have to be the wise one around the fire.
Yes.
And make that decision for people. And I was willing to take that.
I love the expression. It's to be more disappointed than angry.
Of course.
Because it's very easy for one to slide into the other because disappointment comes first. Anger is typically a secondary emotion that's triggered by frustration, disappointment, embarrassment, sadness, or betrayal, all those kinds of things. And the anger can really take over, can't it, if we don't keep ourselves mindful about it and not go down that autopilot slide, so to speak.
I like timeouts. Laura, if I'm given the luxury of time, what I like to do is sleep on it, write a draft and not send it, take a walk on it, hit the gym on it. Because the following day, I know that I'm probably owing somebody an apology. I have the chance to decompress so I can readjust myself. I can ponder so I can cut the fat. And then when given the luxury of reviewing information, I can understand your point a lot clearer.
Yes.
Than what I was in the moment when we're screaming, the time's ticking, kids are crying. It's weird when there's a lot of distractions, but when you see the priority and you realize you don't want to ruin a very long-term relationship or trust, and even if you said something heated in the moment, you must apologize.
Yeah.
And you must say you did something wrong, and that only makes your relationship even stronger.
Yes, agreed, 100%. Now, tell me about a time when you made the wrong call and had to fix it. Maybe make one of those apologies. Who did you first approach and what did you say to them?
Well, there are no surprises. I believe in right bus, right seat, Lauren. So I've promoted individuals that really weren't for that position. They were the most incredible agent on the phone. But when you made them a supervisor where they needed to oversee other people, then it just ruined their spark and you didn't expand that way. I'd rather make them good soil.
Yeah.
So I can put plants around them. So have them as the individual that does the shadowing side by side, your ace, your squire.
Yeah, and it's okay. You know, I think we tend to forget that some people like just do, and I don't mean just in a sense of minimizing, but as in the sense of exclusively doing the work.
Exactly.
Being on the phones, interacting with the customers. They don't want to manage others. They don't want quote unquote leadership opportunities. They're very happy and very successful where they are. And we tend to, what is it referred to as the Peter principle of promoting someone to the point of their greatest ineffectiveness or least success or something along those lines. So when you did promote somebody into that management position and realize this is sucking the life out of them and it's not helping the organization at all, how did you fix it?
Well, Anthony was miserable. I mean, this is a gentleman that's been with me 15 years and how much more can I pay him besides giving him a pinball machine and saying thank you? But he was miserable and I don't want to squeeze anybody out. I don't want someone to quit and there's no walk of shames here. And so I saw the difference between classroom interaction compared to on the floor interaction. And you had somebody that was sitting there and shining and ringing the bell and marking the walls and having that swagger.
Yeah.
And in the training class, this individual did not go to school for public speaking. Yeah, they're talented, but it's the kind of thing where they're getting the glaze over. They're getting the classroom yawns. They're getting the people that don't want to be there.
Yes.
And so then they start second guessing themselves. And so I said, well, where am I going to get the most mileage? I'm going to get the most mileage out of the ripple.
Yeah.
Put them here, five guys around them. Next week, move them there, five guys around them. And that's how things grow. That's how the high fives happen. That's how you earn the respect of the crew because the individual, Tony, did it through merit.
Yes. And it sounds like the safest and most effective redirect from you, which was an extremely smart path, was rectifying and saying, hey, Tony, you don't seem happy. So it's not just that you're not being ineffective. You're not happy. And I think there are lots of other ways for him to lead, if nothing else, by example. So allow him to be the role model for others, allow him to demonstrate more, allow others to observe him and lead in that way without actively managing, so to speak. So to really take his strength and just use it to cultivate all over the place and help everybody else be successful in that manner instead. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yes, ma'am, you are. But I got to share something even better for you.
Please.
The one that's been with me the longest.
Okay.
So regardless of top marks on the wall with his performance, I have fidelity. I'm someone that's loyal.
Yes.
Oh, so when others are asking, what is the stability of your company?
Yeah.
Look at this gentleman here that has more options than a McDonald's menu.
Yeah.
And they chose me.
Yes.
And they chose to put 15 years of your life, 160 hours a month, sometimes more.
Yeah.
To make this ship move forward.
Yeah.
And so when you get to a certain stage, what do you do with an individual that's been with you for so long? It makes you too humble. Yes, I might have a certain paper position and I pay individuals, but you have to look at this colleague that is with you through the good and the bad and the happy and the sad. And they saw it your greatest and the weakest moments and didn't cast judgment. They still had that faith in you. And sometimes as a business owner, that is the sort of energy that I needed to pick me up in the seventh round after Clubber Lang gave me a really good one.
Good Rocky reference there, Philly.
And that is my Rocky. And so I let these people know that they are my stones and my bricks.
Yeah.
And I thank them for it. And that's a lot of the times if you ask somebody, what's the top three things Richard said to you? One of them is they thank me all the time for what I do and appreciate me.
Yes. And I think that's so important for most people that we... I've heard about so many leaders who don't tend to express appreciation or acknowledge that somebody did a good job on something because they feel like, well, that's what I paid them to do.
Right.
They're supposed to show up. They're supposed to do a good job. That's table stakes. Why would I thank you for table stakes? And it's like, well, because people like to hear it, frankly. They want to be appreciated no matter what it is. You don't have to just win the lottery or the marathon or something massive to be acknowledged for that. And we tend to overlook it. So it sounds like that's something that you really have embraced.
Well, I ask them if they even make their beds in the morning, Laura.
Do you?
Just if they, prior to even seeing me, do they have structure, discipline, and self-respect? Do they have routine? That's why when people fill out their resumes, I ask them for a coming-of-age moment. I want to see if you know how to dance, paint, sing, write music. Do you rock climb? Why? So I can give you a nickname.
Yeah.
And also I can pick you up on a rainy Wednesday when you're not feeling good. I'm like, come on, rock climber, what's going on here today? And it gives me a chance to see a zig and a zag because there's no straight lines in nature. If I ask you a really cool question on a telemarketing call or in a meeting with Laura, do you have the ability and the depth to give her a really killer answer? Just so you guys can anchor and find things in common and have a me too. And so it's a very easy filtering for me. I just like someone that likes pinball machines, that can smile, tell me a great story. If you are, then you're definitely in the right place.
Nice, nice. So it sounds like building rapport and getting to know people, no matter how many there are working for you at that point, to know them on a level where, whether it's for fun nicknames or for other acknowledgements, that they feel known, they feel seen, they feel understood, at least on some level. They're not just a cog in the works and caller number 4,873.
They have to be willing to share.
Yep.
Because if you're not going to tell me anything about you, I know nothing. And so it's just steps to get closer, almost like with a feral cat. Mm. Eventually, they'll earn your respect, let you pet them and drink the milk. And so these are people that have been jaded.
Yes.
Individuals that have jumped so many centers and have had bad supervisors, horrible metrics, and a bad taste in their mouth. And so what I try to do is to let them see, A, it's still a career. B, you're bilingual, which bears the mark of higher education.
Yeah.
You can earn the most money being a linguist more than a doctor and an attorney. Mm. And these are soft skills that will be able to give you a beautiful life with your friends and family. And so I try to give a value added benefit along with just giving you a job. I mean, that's not where
yes.
to go. And, but it's a shame. They come in sometimes sad because call centers do have a bad rap and look what Hollywood does to them. And so not everybody slings stock and not everyone burns out. There's some individuals out there, Laura, it's true, that retain clients for companies can get upsells, get referrals, or even can get some exit interview feedback to be able to give to the higher ups or even as a business owner myself to make those sort of necessary adjustments.
Yes. Now, tell me about a time when you decided to take a big risk. What was at stake and how did you communicate your decision to key stakeholders?
My biggest risk was my family to move to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
But when it comes to stakeholders, I don't have stakeholders. I own my own company. The only thing is I'm accountable to the clients that work with me, but we talk about realistic metrics. But no, my friend, this was a risk of my life. I did not follow in my grandfather, father, or brother's footsteps of Harvard Law, Columbia Business, and Washington LA undergrad. I was a language major at the University of Arizona. It was a free spirit knowing that if I had that second language, I could be different from all my friends in Philly that couldn't do it. And when I was applying for jobs, I was one of the only few that said, se habla español, and could do it. And so I saw that it made me marketable. But the shame was, Laura, is that a lot of people saw it as a parlor trick or thought it was cute. Or since they weren't bilingual, they didn't understand my dedicated practice and where I was going with this. And so outside of my own bubble, okay, of friends and family that were on their own paths and had expectations, I was really getting the reinforcement from the Latino community. And they kept saying, go, Richard, go, you're getting these levels. And so when it really came down to not only grad, but post-grad, and then this opportunity for Costa Rica, that needed to be sold. And so I kind of convinced my family of my great-grandparents that came at the turn of the 20th and started their life in the States. But then I also said, why take a spark out of somebody? And so they said, go for it, assuming that I'd come back with the tail between my legs, but it didn't happen.
Sure.
But with my clients, there's no surprises. I like to give them the challenges we have. But really, in essence, it's about someone that has moved to this country started a business, has a U.S. corp, pays its taxes, and a lot of the clients, if they're choosing between certain companies and besides price, they kind of like that long shot story. They just kind of see outside of work what somebody had to do in order to get themselves there.
I think those soft skills and especially foreign language skills are often looked at as auxiliary. People say, well, I speak English. That's not a skill set. Yeah, it actually is. To do that well is differently. And there are so many other skills, organizational skills. And I find so many people think that what they're really good at is just, well, everybody can do that, right? So what's my real niche? And it's like, no, not everybody can do those things. Those are genuinely marketable skills. So never downplay whatever is your natural gift that you have then cultivated as well. I think that's great, just food for thought for everybody out there. Now, you just took a challenge in moving down to Costa Rica 24 years ago. Let's levy a challenge to everybody else. This is an opportunity, Richard, to give a challenge for our 24-hour influence challenge of the day, to challenge our audience to take one step that they can complete within 24 hours to have more influence. How would you like to challenge our listeners today?
Yeah, Laura, I loved when we spoke about this before. I gave you like 20 ideas and this is the one we chose the best. Nobody likes how they sound on their voicemail now, do they?
No, they don't.
When was the last time you changed your voicemail recording? What, 1989? And so I need for you to listen to yourself. And I want you to analyze your tone, your rate, your pitch, your duration. Maybe use a thesaurus and find some similes to power up certain vocabulary so it might become more diplomatic and strategic. And practice that over and over. Why? Because that's how you sound to people. And the more that you clean that up and practice being an orator, speaker, and mastering your rhetoric, naturally, it's almost like a longbow with battle. You get more distance, you get more strength to it. Mm-hmm. It will really give you that Philly push that you need if you do that. And so my suggestion is once you make that recording, then do congruence. What does that mean? Audio matching the visual. Mm-hmm. So if you sound good, now you need to look good. And so maybe that might be a step there too. And that might just start opening other areas of your life. And then when you become more observant and lucid to how people speak, you're not being critical, but you're also gauging how other people speak with others and how you communicate. And so it's a good chance to see, you might take some techniques from somebody like myself, Basil Rathbone, who was one of my favorite speakers back in the day. I also enjoyed the show Remington Steele, if you remember that, with Pierce Brosnan.
I do, yes, yes.
All right, so your audience should watch a couple episodes of Remington Steele and practice doing some voicemails, okay? And if you don't like that accent, choose Dirk Benedict as Templeton Peck on the A-Team. Listen to the face man a couple times and make your videos.
Oh, that's funny. These are great 80s flashback references.
Laura, these are my influences. These are the people that I used to watch on a VCR rewind and watch again and go, that was smooth.
And of course, you referenced Clubber Lang from the one of the Rocky, several of the Rocky movies for that matter, back in the day. And that would be Mr. T, who then was also in the A-Team. So tying all of your 80s movies and TV shows together, noticing a trend here. I love it. All right. So let's boil down what we just heard. The first step in all of those things that we just suggested, what I heard was the first step, listen to your own outbound voicemail message. Meaning when somebody calls you, if you don't answer, they get your auto message saying, hi, this is Laura. I'm not here. And dot, dot, dot. What does that sound like? Because I think you're very right, Richard, that most of us probably, whether or not it was 89, could have been 97 or something, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way. Since you listened to yourself, if you listened at all, and I'm also being willing to bet that a lot of people out there never recorded one at all. They just allow the automated message to say terrible. The person you are trying to reach at number blah, blah, blah is not available. No, make your own outbound voice. For anybody who's not watching the video, just listening on Apple or Spotify or something, he just gave a big thumbs down.
A Fonzie thumb down. A happy days Fonzie thumb down. There's another reference for you.
Another one. Now we're going back to the 70s. Oh my goodness. So why would you say, Richard, this is our call center expert, why is it a thumbs down to not having a personalized outbound voicemail message?
It almost reminds me of my college roommate, Jeremiah, that used to leave me sticky notes telling me to wash the dishes. How informal. Come on now. Seriously. Seriously, you want a robot talking for you? No, if you're going to do anything and nothing, at least give them 15 seconds. Let them see a little bit of you. And I think it's a good electromagnetic energy transfer. I hate these automated IVRs. And once again, more people are preferring omnichannel non-voice. They like the texting. They like the chats. Mm. Sometimes you have to ask permission to make a phone call to somebody.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
So why don't we just go old school and make it a painting instead of a print?
Yep.
Really give yourself a little bit of specialness. So possibly you might get their attention.
Yeah, it changes the nature of the rapport, right? I really feel like when somebody, and maybe it's deliberate, but I feel like when I get those automated voicemail responders, like the person I'm trying to reach, it's their version of saying, I don't care who you are, I don't want to talk to you. If you want to talk to my voicemail, fine, but you're not getting me and door slam in your face kind of a thing. It's not going to open. Now, maybe I'm reading too much into it, et cetera, but, no. And maybe people are trying to say actively, you're right, Laura. I don't like taking phone calls. Somebody can send me an email. I don't like talking to people on the phone. I don't want people to call me. I'm trying to actively dissuade them. If so, okay, point taken and made and effective. That being said, if that's not what you're trying to convey to someone, if that's not what you want someone to think or feel upon trying to get in touch with you and leaving you a voicemail, perhaps just a little adjustment and take Richard up on this challenge to leave your own first voicemail and listen to it once or twice.
But Laura, maybe give the people the options because sometimes, as you say, prefer email versus call and vice.
Yeah.
So don't force. Maybe give two or three options to people and see where they choose.
Yes, but it doesn't make an impression, right? It makes it very specific, gives you a sense of what is your first impression that you're leaving. And if it's a robot talking for you, it is an impression. The question is it the impression that you want? So very challenging. Now, tell me about a time when you went to bat for someone else. Who did you speak to on their behalf? Why and how?
I totally remember this story when we spoke about it, Laura. I had an agent called Gary, and we call it the Gary technique. This guy was usually the ramper upper, where I'd put him on a brand new campaign to lead the charge, show some metrics, and things would look good. And once again, the lone voice with the client convincing them that this is the guy. So after a certain day or two, when the client was losing its patience or Gary wasn't hitting the home runs yet, he said, hey, I want you to remove him and try somebody else. And I said, you haven't really given him enough time. He goes, no, I just don't have a good vibe. I go, okay, let's give it until the end of the day. And then I'll put him on another campaign. Mm. Next thing you know, Gary ripped three appointments. And so the client calls back. He goes, why? I didn't know that. Let's keep him. I go, well, listen, Billy did speak to the other client. He's being moved. But I just got to let you know in the future, have faith in me. Trust my opinion. This is my wheelhouse. I know what I'm doing. And, you know, just once the people get loosey-goosey and they feel comfy on the phone, then you're hitting them. And so I've fallen on swords for people because I've known what they've done. And I've also made mistakes as well. Sometimes Gary was not the good fit on a certain campaign and it just wasn't the right guy. Can't bat 1,000. So I'm willing to take that hit too. But the beauty of it is at the end of the day, regardless of the outcome, the fact that you might have faith in somebody else besides yourself. And you speak well about them behind their back when it's usually the opposite. That's a nice thing. And so I'm always happy with myself. And most of the time I get a good return on that investment.
Of course, you recognize when it's not a good fit and you move them. But when this person prematurely was suggesting a shift that you said to give to the end of the day, but you ultimately made the shift anyway, and then showed the guy, look, you made a mistake. It sounds like you were almost teaching the client a lesson in not making premature decisions because he was now letting go of somebody that he realized too late could be a producer.
And there's no really lessons to be taught. If he really wants to go deep on this, then we need to talk about the Costa Rican labor laws. I needed to ensure this individual had full-time work. So if you're removing him from the account within the same day period, I would have them on another campaign. So my contract with this individual is fulfilled. So this guy can't just play games with people. I have a reputation here. You just don't burn my room and walk away.
Sure.
And so, yes, you made that decision earlier. I respected it. End of business by law. But he was being moved. So you can't just call back. No, it's already been done. So as I said before, but you know what it was? It's not really a come to Jesus meeting. I've had that with newer agents, but Gary was an old one. I go, hey, buddy, he's poking you a little bit. And so I don't know what it does to somebody. It might be a team that's down by 4 and they have nothing to lose and start throwing long bombs, or somebody in the later rounds to start swinging. Something snapped in him. Maybe it was his ego or the fact that someone challenged him or that he knew that time was a ticking and he just wanted to prove a point. But it's amazing that when you put a little fire in somebody or you say the right things, how they shed some skin and how they become anew. And I've never seen such a thing. And especially, Laura, when someone gets to make a phone call in Spanish, even though you're bilingual, it's such higher education, accent, beauty mark, big deal. It's like Ricardo Montalban. But when they speak in Spanish, it is just like Superman. I mean, their vocabulary, their expressions, the talk time goes longer. They're closing more deals. And so it's like home court advantage.
Yes. So what about this? Mm-hmm. Finish the sentence for me. I wish I was better at explaining what to whom.
I wish I was better explaining IT to CTOs. I can't do technical stuff with the chief technical officers. I mean, I know some vocabulary and can discuss certain equipment, but to expect me to have Cisco certificates or to keep up with the market's impossible. I mean, I'm referencing the 80s. I'm still talking about ColecoVision and Intellivision. And today our people are on these systems, these PlayStations. What are we on, 5 right now? And so
I don't even know. And
neither do I. Neither do I. And so I am a relic of the past. And I also decided that my trunk of a tree needed some branches and roots. And I couldn't do it all on my own. I'm a guest here. I needed to hire certain people. And this technical department is so delicate. And if you have a disgruntled individual, they could just start pulling wires, throwing coffee, and shut you down. It is literally the department where I have to give the keys, the life, the heart of the company.
Yeah.
And is it a tough decision to make? It's one that makes you pause, but it shouldn't keep you up at night.
Yes. All right. Finally, tell me about a time when you had to laugh at yourself.
I love this story. So I had a client in town, right, Phil? And I'm driving him to dinner and it's the rainy season. And unfortunately, my car ran out of gas right by the La Sabana Park. And I couldn't believe it. So the guy looks at me and goes, listen, the gas station is just a block away. And he goes, I'll push it if you will. I go, are you serious? He goes, yeah, why not? And so I took my jacket off. I'm still in my suit, got the vest on, and I'm pushing it down the street.
It's a good bonding moment there.
People are honking, laughing at me. A guy on purpose would curve a little so it splashed me.
So it was raining out there too on top of it all?
Terrible.
Oh,
and people were hitting puddles on purpose just to make sure that I got wet. But just like the movie Zorba the Greek, when my shit was going down, I put my arms out and started dancing. I was laughing in the rain. And I tell you what, when I dropped them off, I got the gas, dropped them off at the hotel, met them back over for dinner. We were laughing. He still teases me to this day. But I tell you what, that was literally one of the funniest moments of my entire life, was pushing my car to a gas station in the rain with a client in a suit.
There is a bonding event there that you can't make up and you can't replicate it anywhere else. It either happens or it doesn't. And you can either laugh or cry. Those are your only two options. And crying is not going to accomplish anything at that point, is it?
No, and I'm willing to admit it. Just don't tell anybody.
Okay. Just between you and me and a few 100,000 listeners. No problem.
Yeah, yeah. So, don't say anything.
We'll all keep mum's the word. It's total confidence.
Don't tell my wife that I ran out of gas with a client.
Piece of cake. No problem. Secret is safe with me. Well, Richard, I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation. How can people learn more about you and Costa Rica's call center?
I appreciate that, Laura. I had the best time today. You can buy a first-class plane ticket like you did and fly to Costa Rica and come visit me in the land of Pura Vida. But also, we have a very large Facebook fan page, about 135,000 people. Give your audience a real grasp of the BPO industry in Central America. Now, real quick, we're north of Panama, south of Nicaragua. Costa Rica is the only democratic society in Central America. There's no standing army. All that money got put back into education, so there's a 95% literacy rate. Amazon, HP, Intel, and Oracle are here. And so we're known for medical and ecotourism. And I also want to pay a huge compliment to your assistant, Kate, that did a fantastic job and puts bows on all your presents.
Very sweet. Very sweet. Thank you so much for joining me today, Richard. It's truly been a pleasure.
Pleasure's mine, Laura. Thank you so much.
And to everybody else out there, thank you for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And of course, don't forget to leave us that 5-star rating and review so that we can help even more people to increase their confidence, presence, and influence. You can always go to ratethispodcast.com/influence if you'd like to do it there on the computer, laptop. And finally, if you want to download my free guide to equipment recommendations for virtual influence, including my picks for microphones, lights, and more, go to speakingtoinfluence.com. I'm Dr. Laura Sokola, and you're listening to Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite.
Thanks for listening to Speaking to Influence, Communication Secrets of the C-Suite, the show for leaders who want to speak with impact. The hosts, producers, owners, and media distributors of the show make no guarantees that the strategies and information discussed will result in profit or other success and may result in losses. The opinions and statements of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the owners, staff, managers, broadcasters, or sponsors of the show. No medical or psychological therapy or personal or professional wellness or relationship advice is offered in the show. You are advised to seek counsel on matters related to your health, family, relationships, job, or other business and legal matters from licensed advisors in those areas prior to making any changes in business or lifestyle. No information provided may be suitable in your situation. As always, take responsibility for the decisions and actions you take, including the reactions they may make in your work, family, health, and life.